Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. But I tell you, I was talking to God this morning, and he's in a really good mood. And man, when you talk to him and spend some time with him, it rubs off on you and it gets on you. So I'm going to try today to finish up our last sermon in the series I've been teaching on the church. I think we started teaching this somewhere back in the spring, but this is it. We're going to get on this one, and this one's going to be good. Something going to rip into your spirit fresh and new today. Just turn to your neighbor and say, "Man, get ready. Get ready. Open your heart. Spirit of revelation in the room. Gonna get blessed. Glory." So just a little recap, not the whole thing, but the whole purpose of this is, as pastors in the house, we desire, and our purpose is to see that you understand God's intent for the church, that you understand your individual place in the church, and that you understand that he set you in his body for fun, and he set you in his body to live the good life. Isn't it good? It's a good life. You know, when you're properly functioning, properly established, and properly set as the Lord wants you to be, it is good, and it is the good life. We talked in Colossians chapter 1. It says, "All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. In him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence." He is the head of his body, the church. He wants to administer and manifest his headship through a body, which is the church. And I tell you, that means that there is an incredible, wonderful purpose for the church, because that means that he has predetermined throughout all eternity that he's going to manifest his greatness, his goodness, and his preeminence through a living, breathing body called the church. We are not an organization, but we are a living, spiritual, dynamic organism that is alive and well and breathing to manifest his kingdom, power, and purpose in the earth. It is awesome to be a part of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, we talked about the domination blueprint. How many know God wants to dominate? God always wanted the earth to be dominated. He wanted the seen realm to be dominated by the unseen realm through the unseen realm of his spirit, his kingdom in your heart, manifesting the seen stuff on the seen through the relationship with the unseen. So God wants his kingdom to be manifest in and through you and in and through the corporate body, which is the church. So there's God's part. He imparts grace. There's a massive deposit of God that he imparts to you. Then he puts you in relationship with the body of Christ. And there's something called the fivefold ministry that we've talked about. And the fivefold ministry's purpose is releasing and bringing people, bringing God's shape out of that person, so that that person is moving in the fullness of the anointing of God in their lives, right? So the anointed person, not the position. These ministries are anointed to bring out God's shape in you. What is your part? Your part is to willingly be a part of that. It says, when each of us yield, when each of us align ourselves, when each of us establish ourselves and yield to the Spirit of God setting us in the body, it says, as each one of us gives our strength, as each one of us provides our strength, as each one of us does our work in the body, then we all grow up into the headship of Christ. I can't be totally mature without you. I could be really, really good, and I could reach certain realms of glory, but there is a realm of glory that is reserved to the corporate manifestation. There is a realm of glory that is reserved to us coming into completeness through our interrelationships. God's totally into relationship. Problem is, the world's been preaching religion for way too long, and what we did was we implied all kinds of man-made, weird, goofy structures into that beautiful organism that he called church, and we got all kinds of man's corrupt mindsets and authority structures and weird things. We used the titles that the Bible had, but we had in our hearts and in the minds of men and women just ways of this world that corrupted the whole thing and crippled the church into this miserable little organization that didn't manifest the glory of God. But God is coming in the last days. He's refreshing, he's restoring, and he's building up his church. And his church is going to be a glorious instrument. His church in the last days is going to be without spot or wrinkle. It's going to be a glorious demonstration of him. It's also called his bride, and he will return when the bride has made herself ready. My, we've got to go on. We've got to go on. Ephesians chapter 4, we went there and we saw that the one who ascended above all the heavens that he might fill everything in every way is the same one who gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints. So we talked about all these different ministry gifts. We talked about in Ephesians 3:3-5, how by the revelation he made known the mystery, which in ages past was not known to the sons of men, but now it is revealed. Now it is revealed. Ephesians, that's after the crucifixion, after the cross, after he ascended, after. Now in the New Testament church, there's ongoing revelation in the New Testament church, and now there's ongoing revelation, and it's revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. There's an ongoing ministry of ascension gifting of apostles and prophets that are necessary in the body of Christ today to cause the church to grow up and come into the full manifestation of the headship of Christ. Now, because we're so messed up with man structures, authority structures, and the abuses that come along with that, when we start talking about authority structures, we think more about power and control than we do about function. And see, these gifts are function. They're not to control you or to manipulate you. And if you're ever controlled and manipulated by one of these ministries, that's witchcraft. And that should never, ever happen. But you see, along with this new manifestation of the headship ministry of Christ, there's got to come a revelation of its operation. And you see, these ministries are there to be covered in dirt. These ministries are there to serve you. These ministries are to be humble demonstrations of Jesus Christ. Would you submit to Jesus? He was the great apostle. He was the great example. And every one of these ministries, they should manifest Jesus. Every one of these ministries should not build up themselves or try to drag you into their vision or corrupt you. Every one of these ministries should hook you up to Jesus, point to him and him alone. So we want to know that. We want to understand that, because I'll tell you, there are apostles going to rise up today that are going to move in incredible authority. And that should not scare you. That should thrill you. But sometimes we get afraid because we have a corrupt mindset and a grid through which we see it. So we see, my God, a man with that kind of control would be frightening. But God really is going to have men and women that are so yielded to him, so lost in him, that you will see Jesus. And you're going to be okay with it. And you know what? You're going to align with it. And we're going to see some things in these days. Where, you know what? If Peter walked around and his shadow healed people because he was so saturated with the influence of God, the apostles, prophets, the people of God, the prophetic company, the apostolic company that get raised up in these last days, that ain't nothing compared to what we're going to be in the days of his glory. Amen. Yes, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Romans, or 1 Corinthians 12:27-30, this is all recap now. And God has appointed these in the church first apostles. And it's proton. First means first in time, first in place, and first in rank. But you see, if you think hierarchically, you're thinking that they're first, they're on top. But first means that they go first, pioneering in the areas, breaking new areas of truth, breaking through things. They're the first to suffer. They're the first to go where there's no bridges and there's no roads. They're people with machetes who are going places where it's not comfortable. It's not fun to be. They are first, but they are also last. And so it's an interesting calling to be apostolic. And we are an apostolic company. We are an apostolic people that are always pioneering in new realms of the Spirit. That's why other people can get there later, because we've gone first. There's no roads. There's no paradigm for this. There's no landmarks for this. We've never done it this way before, but it's okay, because we love Jesus and we trust him. There's other groups who need structures. They need paradigms. They need the roadmap to get there. And you know, we don't need that, because we're pioneers and we're fearless and we'll go where no man has gone before. Because we trust him, because we love him. And we know that if we ask him for the Holy Spirit, he won't give us something weird. Yeah. This is good, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Four groups of apostles, really fast. Jesus was the chief apostle. There's the 12 apostles of the Lamb. There were the transitional apostles, the New Testament apostles who established foundations and doctrines. And then there's the ascension apostles of Ephesians 4:11. Now, an apostle's calling, first of all, an apostle's calling is from God. You don't get to do a survey and say, I'm an apostle. All apostles are called by God. First of all, they're called by God. Two aspects of any calling. It's a perfect appointment because it's from him. But it's never fulfilled in its appointment until there's a public acknowledgement of it. Paul knew he was apostle when he was called. He knew he was sent to the Gentiles. But he was never released until Acts 13. And so he was serving and staying in his lane and staying in the metron that he had for him until in Acts chapter 13 they said, send these guys into their purpose and calling. A lot of people shipwreck their faith because they take things in their own hands. But you know what? There is that perfect appointment from God. But then there's that public acknowledgement where you yield to Him releasing you into that place of ministry and the acknowledgement of other ministries and other people. So that's very important to understand and do. So the sphere of the apostle, 2 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "We, however, will not boast beyond our measure." Paul is saying, I've got boundaries to my apostleship. And he said, I'm not going to boast about what's not given to me to take responsibility for. And he says, I won't boast beyond my metron, but within the limits of the sphere which God has appointed us, the sphere which is especially and does include you. The metron is portioned off measure. The canon is the limit of my jurisdiction. Did you know that you have jurisdiction? You know that every one of you have jurisdiction? Did you know when you get born again, you didn't just get into a relationship with God, but you entered into a legal agreement with the heavenly realm? A legal agreement that the devil knows all about, and he's trying to keep you ignorant of it, because when you enforce the legal agreement, he has to back off, and then heaven enforces the reign and rule of the kingdom for you. Man, that's good stuff. Did you know that you have jurisdiction? You have jurisdiction, first of all, now over your own spirit. The devil can't mess with you anymore. You got jurisdiction over your own head, jurisdiction over your own heart. You can direct your thoughts. You can direct your heart. You got jurisdiction over you. It says a man who doesn't rule his own spirit is like a city with broken down walls. But you know what? You're supposed to rule your own spirit. You've got jurisdiction over you. Nobody can make you do nothing except you. And whether you're there or you're not is up to you. You got to rule your spirit. Then you know what? You get into relationships. You start to get into family. You start to get, you know, it says he who doesn't rule his own household is not fit to serve the body of Christ. And you know, you have spheres of jurisdiction. And as you honor those spheres of jurisdiction, God says he sees you faithful in a little, he will give you more. And you see, that's how you go on in God, is you're faithful in your sphere. And Paul said, I want to come to you guys, but I can't come until I have faithfully ministered in the sphere that I'm in. And you see, there's a sphere that you're in right now, but God wants you to dominate it. He wants you to dominate it. And he wouldn't want you to dominate it if he didn't give you the resources and the ability to dominate it. That means rule over it. Take authority over it. Too many people are, God, would you do something about this mess? And he's like, I already did. It's your turn. Speak to it. Take authority over it. Apply my word to it. Pray in tongues over it. I mean, lash it with the tools that I have given you. Your weapons aren't carnal, but they're mighty to the tearing down of strongholds. Enforce the invasion of my power and authority there. You know, you, every one of us, have jurisdiction. Every one of us have a realm that he's given us authority over us, and he wants us to prove faithful. Man, right where you're working, you might think that's just my job, it's where I get to hang out. But God is saying, where I have placed you, your job, that place where you go, where you punch the clock every day, I want you to exercise my kingdom. And he's put you in a realm there where you now get to... Man, it's awesome. See, Nicole, she's got a new job. She's in a new place there. She goes into that place, and then suddenly, just as she is being, as she is living, as she's living out kingdom principles, as she's living out kingdom truth, suddenly it emanates from her. She goes, my God, I'm getting a lot of favor here. Why is that? Because she's a kingdom person. Because in the spirit, she is the one who's really in charge. Your boss won't even know why. I want you to do this. I'm going to give you the corner office with the view. Hello? He gives us all things for our enjoyment. Are you here? Man, I tell you, it's exploding inside of me. Yum, yum. Apostles have a jurisdiction. They have a sphere. They have a sphere that they operate in. Apostles in their ministry, first of all, they have signs. The signs of apostleship are power, passion, vision, and virtue. The seal of apostleship is he's a pioneer, he's an architect, or he or she is an administrator. Service, there's an authentic witness of apostleship. There's an authentic ministry of apostleship. There's authentic fathering with apostleship. And there's authentic impartation that comes along with apostleship. Man, that was a really fast teaching on apostles. Amen. You'll have to get the CD from last time. Amen. William A.C. Rowe, he said, apostleship must always be a vital subject for the Church of Christ. The pages of the New Testament are covered with it. Facts of apostleship confront us everywhere. It smites the eyes. Even a versatile imagination cannot depict a church with an apostolic ministry nor an anonymous order. Very strong stuff. But there are apostles today. And forever, the church has been trying to deny those ministries and the impact of them. We've been concerned about them. We're afraid of them, or we haven't understood them. But God is releasing them today. Therefore, he's going to release revelation on it. And we have to watch. You need to know what an authentic apostle is. You know why? There will be false apostles. So you have to know the authentic, or you could get hijacked by the false. Did you see that, how I did that? Did you see, just kind of went across here and... You know, since we gave up the evening service, I've put on 10 pounds. This is the only exercise I get all week. It's awesome. It's like my own little Stairmaster. Maybe I can start preaching from an elliptical. That would be awesome. We'll put the elliptical right up here. Pastor, the only time you can preach is when you're on the elliptical. I'd get some exercise in then, wouldn't I? My God. Oh, I tell you, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I tell you, we want to step into some new stuff now. I want to talk to you about the message of the church. How many know what the message of the church is? What's the message of the church? Sorry? Jesus, he's the king. And the message of the church is the king has a kingdom. The church is here to proclaim the kingdom. The church is here to proclaim the kingdom. So the message of the church is always the kingdom. Matthew 24, 14, and the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, it shall be preached in all the world for a witness. And that literally means there's a testimony. It literally also means that it'll be taught and it'll be preached with evidence. Evidence. There should be evidence, because it's not the gospel that you get to go to heaven. It's not the gospel of you get to go to heaven. Your sins are forgiven, and then when Jesus comes, he'll get you out of this mess and he'll take you to heaven. That is not the gospel. The gospel is the good news of the kingdom, which means, you know what? You do get to go to heaven, but in the meantime, heaven gets to come to you, and you get access to everything there right now. That's good news, amen? How many are looking forward to heaven? Why don't you have some? What are you waiting for? We're allowed to experience it now. That's the good news. It says the whole world, every ethnic tongue, every tribe, they're all going to hear the good news of the kingdom with a manifestation, with an expression, with a witness, with a testimony. They're going to see that kind of demonstration. Then the end will come. Why? Because Jesus would never come back and judge a world that didn't see the full meal deal. You could not judge me for rejecting a steak if you were handing me a Big Mac. Big Mac is, no thank you. T-bone, 16 ounce, massive eye, yum. I would not reject that. But the church has been offering Big Macs, little packages, little containers. It all looks like this. And you know what? God is saying, that ain't it. This is it. It's the kingdom. People will say yes to the kingdom. People will say yes to a demonstration of the kingdom of God. Miles Monroe, too many people are simply religious people, but citizens of the kingdom are legal people. Too many people are simply religious people, but citizens of the kingdom are legal people. See, if you got lost in, you know, some crazy country, let's say you were in North Korea, and you got lost in there, those poor kids, remember, they didn't know they crossed the border, but they crossed the border and they got sent to jail. I mean, immediately you want to tell them, I'm a citizen of Canada. And immediately you want your country to go to work to set you free. You want every right of a citizen to come into manifestation. Don't you? Don't you? Don't you? See, too many people, they think being religious is just this, you know, little relationship with some church and we got a few rules and we all kind of hang out and have a few meetings and stuff. But you have a legally applying covenant relationship with the kingdom of God. And you know what? If ever in this sphere, because you know what? You are now strangers here in this place called Earth. You know, you are a child and a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You got dual citizenship. And you know what? If the power of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, tries to come and encroach on your legal rights as a child of God, you get to appeal to the kingdom of God and say, I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and you have no right to encroach on my health, on my peace, on my prosperity, on my freedom, on my liberty. But you see, most people, they just got religion. They don't know that they're legal people. Adam didn't lose a religion or a denomination. He lost his place as a ruler. Thanks, Pastor. That's good stuff, Pastor. All right, Genesis 1:26. Let me show you Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have Dominion. Who has dominion in the earth? Who? He didn't say let us and them have dominion. He didn't say let us together have dominion. He created the earth. He put man in it. He put his breath in man. And he said, now man will represent me in the earth. And you know what? God always honors his word. That means that God cannot break his own word. Therefore, God will never do something on the earth except he uses a man. That's why Jesus had to come as a man. It's pretty good stuff. The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So your life is your responsibility. Quit waiting for somebody else. As I always say, quit waiting for somebody else to be the hero in your story. You be the hero. You're the hero. You're the one. You know what? You went into heaven. You said, my life is just an epic journey. And I'd like Brad Pitt to play me. No, Brad Pitt doesn't have to play you. God's already assigned the parts. You get to play you. And God wants you to be the leading role. And he loves you. And he's directing you. And he's speaking to you. And he's there at the side going, go this way. Go that way. Say this. Say that. Yes, it was awesome. And he's directing you in paths that are full of righteousness and wonder and beauty for his name's sake, because he loves you. It's good, Pastor. Augustine wrote great books, great city God, great church father. He said, without God we cannot, and without us God will not. And that is because he has willed not to, because he's given all the affairs on earth to you. You know what? He has engaged earth again through his son. He's established his right to contact earth again through his son. There is now a man who went. He is the new and living way. There is a man who went. There's a man seated on the throne. There's a man up there. He says, you were dead, doomed, and dominated, but now you've been made alive, raised up, and seated with him in the heavenly realms. Therefore, you have joint seating in the throne room with Jesus, your big brother. And now you get to rule over the affairs of earth. You're not subject to it. You are overcomers. You are more than conquerors. You are seated above every one of these things. So never be under the circumstances because you're to be in control. Another Miles Monroe quote. You ready? We should stop trying so hard to live like Christians and all the false assumptions associated with that term. That's a huge statement right there. He says, and instead, let's work harder at living like sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters of Christ, and citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Pastor. Come on, Pastor. It's good. All right. Let's go on. Matthew 23:13-15. Now religion has kept people on the treadmill of performance. The letter kills, but the spirit brings life. And here's what Jesus said to the religious leaders of the day. He said, you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourself don't enter, and you won't let them enter in either. Everybody is trying to get in, you won't let in. That's happening a lot today. I'm not here to beat against that or rail against that, but there's a lot of leaders in the church today with zero revelation, and they really think that what Adam lost was religion and not the legal right to reign and rule. So when you start to talk about living out of heaven, living out of the glory realm, experiencing every benefit of the glory of realm, they're like, that's not right, and they shut the door, and they stand there and guard it and say, I'm not going in and neither are you. There's a lot of religious leaders today keeping people out of the benefits of the glory realm. We're not going to be like that. Amen. Because the message of the church is kingdom. That's what it's about. He said, I must preach the kingdom. He said, and that's why I came. He said, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus began his whole ministry, and he began his ministry with saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The very first word that Jesus used in his preaching was a thinking word. And that word is repent. And that word doesn't mean just turn around. It literally, the word repent means get back on top. Pent is, you know, the first part of the word penthouse. Penthouse meaning the house that's on the top. You know what? God is saying, you know what? Here's the kingdom message. You get to get back on top. You don't have to be subject anymore. You now get to reign and rule. Here's a really good news for you. I got a gospel of the kingdom. You actually are being put back in charge. The rule that you lost through Adam, that was passed down to you through his loins, I now have restored your right to rule. You now have legal access to live not out of this sphere, but you have legal access to insist that this sphere aligns itself with heaven, and you get to live out of the heavenly realm 24/7. Woo! Three people got that. That was awesome. I must preach the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God to other cities also. That is the purpose for which I was sent. Jesus never ever says that I got sent here to get people into heaven. He got sent to preach the kingdom. He got sent as an ambassador of heaven to get heaven back into earth and to take over this realm. He loves this realm. He wants the world to be saved. He wants every part of it to be saved. He doesn't say, get a few people out of there and then I'll just blow it all up. He says he literally wants to see us subdue and subject this realm under the authority of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you. That's awesome. All right, so Luke 12:32, Jesus said, don't be seized with alarm, little flock. Don't be struck with fear, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. What makes him really happy? Blessing you with his kingdom. Not a part of it, not a portion of it, but according to his kingdom, his glory, his majesty, and his strength. If I get some, oh, gee, they got some. Wonder how much is left. No, he doesn't give you out of, he gives you according to. So if I got some, it's always multiplying. There's just, and there's such a wild, crazy, unlimited resource of God. Amen? So he gives you a gift. Here's the gift of God to you. Here you go. You ready? Here's the gift of God to you. I give you my rule, my ability, and my glory to influence all of your life. I give you the person of the Spirit. I give you the person of the Godhead Holy Ghost, that he will saturate you, soak you, and bring you into the full revelation of heaven manifesting in your life. Yeah, it's a good word, you know. And you know, that's the message of the church. You know, what a terrible thing if somebody knocks your door. I got a message for you. What is it? I don't know. I don't know, but we do it every Sunday, and I'm not even sure what we're doing. I don't know what I'm supposed to rule over, take over. We sing songs about it, but I have no clue how it all works out. What a miserable bunch. You know what? We got to understand that he's given us the kingdom. Here's a beautiful thing. You ready? Luke 22:29. And my Father has appointed a kingdom. He has conferred on me a kingdom, and now I confer the kingdom on you. Really, that verse alone, I could have just spoke that this morning, and you should have fallen down silly out of your chair just going, yikes amundo. Jesus, the Son of God, was conferred a kingdom. Confer means to bestow upon as a gift, favor, honor, deposed by will, or make a covenant with. And what did he give you as a gift? What did he confer to you? The kingdom. Father conferred on me a kingdom, and now I confer you the privilege and the decree. Ha ha! Thank God for the guy who's turning the slides. Amen? Colossians 1:12-13, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness or the kingdom of darkness, and he has conveyed us or he has conferred on us the kingdom of the Son of his love. The same kingdom, the same power, the same authority, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, the same kingdom has been conferred upon you as a gift. Literally, the wording that is used there, it's like you were brought into the throne room before a king, and it was conferred upon you an honor. I now declare you, I now appoint you as a king of kings. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. How do you get it? How do you get in there? How do you get access to all these privileges? He qualified you. Like when you hear some really, really good news, you're kind of go, well, how do I get it? Here's the good news about how to get it too. He qualifies you. Oh, Pastor, that's too good to be true. I know, but it's in the Bible. And that's what he said. And you know, if you try to come any other way, you're trying to come over the wall. But if you come through the door, through Jesus, it's the gift. Good news, little flock. It's Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Pause and drink on that one. To the kingdom conferred on me, and to the kingdom conferred on you, to kings among kings, I salute you. Let's go on. I got more. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. He's got more. That's good. He's got more. Praise God. It's awesome stuff. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. There's an awful lot of talking going on in churches these days. It's time to see power. That's why today when I said I insist on the sick being healed, I mean it. You know what? I've been given a mandate as a pastor here, as a shepherd, as an overseer, that if I oversee some sickness, I need to take a nasty whack at it and say, in the name of Jesus, I insist that this leaves this house and that you be made whole. I insist on it. Oh, I'm going to hang on to my sickness, Pastor. Thanks anyways. I insist that you let it go. I insist you take this series of sermons on healing and that you get it in your heart, because that lack of revelation is keeping you from walking in the fullness of God. A kingdom must have three things. A kingdom must have, to be a kingdom, you must have a ruler, a realm, and the rules. And we've got all of that in the kingdom. You know, here's a beautiful thing about the rules of our kingdom. There's a commonwealth. You know, Nicole, Joshua testified, she was operating out of the commonwealth. Not quite sure why, didn't ask for it, but I got $10,000 knocked off. Why? Because she's a part of the commonwealth. And in the commonwealth, wealth is common. That's one of the benefits of being a child of God. You get to live out of his abundance. It's really good. And you know, when you honor him and you work with the principles, giving and sowing and reaping, man, you get to experience heaven on earth. Oh, it's like heaven on earth, ain't it? Man, don't you wish you were me? You don't have to be me. Be you. It's a gift to be you. Because you know what? He wants to do all this stuff for you. Oh, it's so good. Here, a little line here, a little sentence. The kingdom of God is expressed where people, because that's his realm. Everybody who accepts him as Lord, they become a part of the kingdom of God. So his kingdom is the realm where he is received as king. Do you receive him as king? Do you receive Jesus Christ as the King of kings and Lord of lords? Do you accept his lordship here by the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you? Do you agree with me on that? Will you nod your head and grunt approval? You know what we got right there? We got enough agreement to wreck the world right there. There's enough agreement in that just to change any circumstance, any situation. Hallelujah. Where he is Lord and he is declared Lord and accepted of Lord, there's emancipation from every form of bondage. You know, I had somebody come talk to me the other day and he said, I like this church, Pastor. I believe in your vision. I said, what is the vision? He says, well, the vision of this church is, you said this once, it's going to be something so powerful, the glory of God in this area, in this region, you'll have to leave town to sin. I said, well, that's pretty much it. Global glory, global domination. People are going to have to get a spacesuit and leave the planet to sin. They're going to have to crawl under a rock somewhere and dig a big hole to try to get away from the glory of God, because we are committed to every person having access to the glorious presence of God in all of its forms and all of its manifestations. Yes, Pastor, the kingdom environment. Now, here's the problem. When you got a whole bunch of Christians that are trying to be just religious, and they think it's just a religious agreement that they have, then they don't realize that all the religious stuff, all the rules, only work in the proper realm. All the rules only work in the proper environment. Like, if I put on some kind of a spacesuit here or something, and I'm not out in space, I might still be able to breathe, but it would be really awkward because, you know, I'm wearing something that's not really suited for this environment. But if I tried to not put a spacesuit on and tried to jump out of a spaceship in space, I'd be... Because in each environment, it demands that there's a certain expression or a certain understanding that you're prepared for that environment. Well, you know, the purposes of God, the Word of God, the promises of God, they work in an environment. There's a lot of people who are trying to confess the promises without getting in the proper environment. You ever heard a fish out of water? If you're a fish out of water, you're going to die pretty soon if you don't find some water. There's a lot of believers that are believers out of the kingdom. They're believers out of the glory. And you know, some people, how come they always get it to work? How come it always works for them? Because they're applying the principles in the proper environment. The kingdom of God. What is it? The kingdom of God. The environment of the kingdom is the glory of God. A believer out of the glory is like a fish out of water. It will not function right. And that's the problem today, is that our message ain't that good because only a few people actually know how to make it work. God wants us all to grow up and make it work. Woo. John 20, 21 and 22, as my Father sent me, I'm sending you. The same stuff I did, the same things I did, same message I had, just as he sent me to rule, to dominate, to take over, I'm sending you. So then he said, he breathed on them, he said, now that you're being sent to do this, you need to be operating those principles in the proper environment. Whoosh, receive the Holy Spirit. The environment for all of this to come into manifestation is the realm of the Spirit, which is the realm of the kingdom, which is the realm of the glory. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. The rest of you can go home. All right. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Well, what is the kingdom of God? It's righteousness, peace, and joy. Wow. So if you're in the kingdom, you're going to manifest righteousness in every aspect of your life. You're going to manifest peace in every area of your life. And you're going to manifest joy in every area of your life. Well, that's what it's like. It's not the meat and drink thing. It's like this. Where is it, Pastor? Where is it? It's in the Holy Ghost. You can take all that stuff out grammatically with the structure of the sentence. You can take all the meat and the righteous, the peace, joy. You can pull it out and say the kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. And Jesus was raised by the Spirit. And it also says Jesus was raised by the glory, the kingdom of his glory. The Holy Spirit is the environment in him, the person of the Holy Ghost. When you're in him, abiding in him, remaining in him, dwelling in him, you have the environment of the glory realm, the kingdom realm, and you can start to declare kingdom stuff, and you'll see it manifest because it's in the right environment. I could take a seed, I could take a corn seed, and I could plant it in the ocean, and I'll never see a corn stalk. But if I take a corn seed and I plant it in good soil, I'll see a manifestation. You can plant seeds all you want in the air of doubt, fear, unbelief, and religion. But when you sow a seed in the realm of the kingdom, you're going to see an immediate manifestation. Hello? I don't know. Someday, if you get the disc, your spirit will catch up with the word I'm speaking. Somewhere you'll go, man, good stuff, Pastor. I know. Thank you, Carl. Thank you. My spirit actually was thanking me. It's good. It's wonderful. It's good. There is a place called in the Spirit, and it's in him, and you must dwell there, abide there. You got to stay intoxicated in the Holy Ghost. That's why here's the essence of spiritual warfare. The essence of spiritual warfare is you're trying to stay in him, and the devil's trying to get you out. That is really the essence of it right there. Because when you stay in him, man, it's an awesome life. It's good. All right, I've got a couple more things to say. Here's another verse. You ready? Look at this one. For if by one man's offense death reigned through that one man. What am I talking about there? What's he talking about? How many have ever seen the reign of sin? Take you to India with me, you'll see the reign of sin. You will see when people worship idols and they're messed up and they're goofed up, you will see what happens. Highly educated people too, totally messed up and corrupt because of sin, and you'll see the results of sin. I mean, you can go down the streets down here in the core, 12 o'clock, Friday, Saturday night, you can see the results of sin. How many have seen sin? How many watched TV this week, saw some sin? Is the reign of sin pretty pervasive? How many think, whoa, it's full on? Well, here's the contrast. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Christ Jesus. If you think the reign of sin is powerful, it's nothing compared to the body of Christ rising up in its rightful place and reigning and ruling in the affairs of the world. Man, that's powerful, but this will be powerful. No, it's not going to be powerful. It's going to be much more powerful. Much, much more. More, how much? Much more. More, Pastor? No, not more. Much, much more. Much more. Ha ha! He is the King of Kings. Who reigns in your life? Jesus reigns in my life, and he has given me authority down here to be the king of the purposes that he has given me responsibility for. You are the hero of your own story. You are a king. You are a king, and he is the King of Kings, and he's given you the right to rule. Well, show me more then, Pastor. All right, if I have to. Revelation 5:10, and he has made us to be kings. What? He made us to be kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. I'm going to reign in heaven. When we get there, won't it be wonderful then? Doesn't say that he will make you reign there. It says that he has made us to reign on earth. And he made us kings and priests to God the Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So how long is this reign? What is the extent of this rule? What will be the result of this reign? This reign will be to his glory, and it will be for dominion, power, and authority. He shall have dominion from sea to sea, for the rivers to the ends of the earth. I'm telling you something right now. I prophesy to you with my eyes open. Something has shifted in the heavenly realm. And we're aware of it. And we're ready to embrace it. And we're ready to ride this thing to a greater realm of glory. Yeah, that was good, Pastor. Man, that was some good stuff right there. Hold on, I'm not done yet. Could it get more exciting than this, Pastor? Yeah. So what are we told? We're told seek the kingdom. Because if you seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, all this stuff is yours. Don't worry about the stuff. Seek him first, seek him as your sole priority, and you get everything. Are we to enter the kingdom? Yes. It says in Acts we must enter the kingdom. Here it says the kingdom suffers violence, and violent men are forcing their way in. Enter the kingdom. Pray the kingdom. Pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Preach the kingdom. Declare it everywhere you go and manifest the kingdom. Preach the kingdom of heaven. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. Raise the dead. And so what am I going to do? Seek it. Enter it. Pray it. Preach it. Manifest it. Turn to your neighbor and say, manifest King Dick. Just use Dick because I couldn't think of another name. If Dick's not beside you, say manifest King Fred. Bob works, Sue, Frida. Here we are, you ready? Open heavens is establishing around yourself the dominion of the king. Just lost everybody, they're all gone. They're just, who is Dick? Dick who? What? Open heavens is establishing around yourself the domain of the king. Did you know that the heavens are open above you? They are, because Jesus opened the way, and nobody can shut it. The only person who can shut it is you by thinking stupid. The pastor said the heavens are open, but I don't think so. Well, then they're not over you because you don't think so. But the truth is they are. All around you, the heavens are speaking, I want to show myself. Yeah, I don't think so. Daily, I want to load you with benefits. Yeah, I don't think so. I love you with an everlasting love. I want to pour my mercy on you new every morning. Yeah, I don't think so. Truth is, the heavens are open above you, but you got all kinds of umbrellas of fear, doubt, unbelief, pain. The kingdom of God is manifesting healing. The kingdom of darkness is manifesting pain. You choose. The pain's pretty real, though, Pastor. I know it is. Still, take authority over it. It's a sphere that God's given you authority over. Command it to go right now. It has no legal right to stay. You have a legal agreement with heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, he took my pain. Where does pain have to go? It has to go to hell. Every bit. Poverty is coming against me, Pastor. You have an agreement with heaven. You operate out of the commonwealth. I don't know how he's going to do it or how he's going to get it to you, but he promised he would. And why will he do it? Because he qualified you to be a part of it. So how do I get it? Faith. You got to believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if I'm in a straitened place and a narrow place and I can't seem to get a breakthrough, I can, by faith, access that open heaven and it can pour out on me? Absolutely. Absolutely. So when the heavens are open, we have free access to everything in the heavenly realm, a free flow of God's abundant graces of ministry and power. I don't have any more sheets. The message of the church is the kingdom of God. The message of our Lord in his Christ. And in him and through him we shall reign forever and ever. Woo! Come on. Jesus! 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 Yeah! 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 Man! It's good stuff, ain't it? How many want to hear next week's sermons too? You want to hear what I'm preaching next week now too? You're just into it. You're just feeling like there's a realm of revelation. Give me more. How many want more? Come back next week. Amen. I'll tell you, we're moving on. The cloud shifted. The cloud's moving. You know what you do when the cloud moves? Move. Cloud's moving. There's something going on in King the spirit. Something shaking. Something baking.
Lord of Lords.
I'm telling you, it's going to be real, real easy. Stuff's going to be easy. Stuff's going to happen. Stuff is shifting. People you've been praying for, wondering what's going on. You're going to speak with new fire, new passion, new authority. Because there's a new apostolic zeal on your life to declare things and see them come into manifestation. Come yeah, on. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, here comes the church. Here comes the church.
Yeah.
With a great, big, wonderful message about the kingdom of God, his power and his authority, and we're not going to quit until we take over the whole thing. Yeah. We're not here to coexist. We're here to take over. Amen. Well, we're going to sing you out. If you need prayer for anything, if you didn't get healed already in the meeting, we'll pray for you. If you got any other needs, you need somebody to agree with you, we're going to stay behind here, lay hands on you, pray for you. But right now, we're going to give glory to Jesus.
Come on, Jesus.
We're going to enter those gates that are wide open. We're going to lay hold of the kingdom privileges. Right now, we're going to enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Are you ready? So we want to sing you out. We want to bless you. Father, I pray the seed of this word, the truth that you poured in our hearts today. Lord, I pray the revelation would find good soil. I pray each and every one of us would realize that it's not for the superstars. I am a superstar. And Lord God, I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. So Father, I want to go. I want to take authority. I want to exercise my jurisdiction. In every realm, I want to manifest that you indeed are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. So Father, I bless this house. Heavenly Father, may your great love go with each one. May the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ surround, work in and through, and manifest the kingdom. One of us in a wonderful, tangible manner.